Hi, this is Daniel Garber-Luiz for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Toronto's Fall Film Festival season continues with Cinefranco showing contemporary French language movies from around the world at the Carlton Cinema, but this week I'm looking at three new movies about traps. There's a big-hearted woman trapped in a male drug lord's body, a French woman trapped in a mental hospital, and a movie camera trapped in somebody's living room. Captives, co-written and directed by Arnaud de Palliere. It's Paris in the late 19th century. Fanny de Vendée, played by Melanie Thierry, is an elegant and educated woman searching for her mother. She disappeared when Fanny was just a girl, but she has reasons to believe she's locked up somewhere in the city's mental hospital. So Fanny voluntarily checks herself in to try to find her. Pitié Salpêtrière is a home for the destitute, people with mental illness, learning disabilities or epilepsy, convicted criminals, and even some foundling children. The one common factor is they're all, quote, undesirables and all women. But once inside, she realizes you can check in, but you can't check out. It's a de facto prison presided over by the matronly Babette, played by Josiane Balasco, and a henchwoman who would make Nurse Ratched look like Florence Nightingale. Babette's one obsession is to perfectly execute their annual ball, featuring her patients singing and dancing before a crowd of wealthy patrons. Fanny quickly learns the ropes and makes allies with Ercélie, a music teacher played by Carole Bouquet, and a lesbian school teacher with an eating disorder. And she finally meets a nearsighted older woman named Camomille, played by Yolande Moreau, who just might be her real mother. Can Fanny perform at the ball and safely escape with her possible mother, or will they all be stuck there forever? Captives is a fascinating historical thriller about the treatment of women in state institutions. It's harrowing parts, including scenes of torture, mainly off-screen, as Fanny navigates class and hierarchy within this enclosed universe. I purposely only mention some of the characters and plot turns because the surprises are what makes it worth watching. But rest assured, this movie is full of great acting, pathos, and beautiful period costumes, even within that terrible place. I like this one a lot. Here, directed by Robert Zemeckis. Ricky, played by Tom Hanks, is a teenage baby boomer living the American dream. His dad and mom, played by Paul Bettany and Kelly Riley, have lived in a house across the street from Ben Franklin's historical home since they bought it on the GI Bill after World War II. Now, Ricky and his kid brother and sister happily share the place, congregating in the living room for holidays, dinners, or just to watch TV. Ricky wants to be an artist, while his girlfriend, Margaret, played by Robin Wright, dreams of going to law school someday. Unfortunately, when she gets pregnant, while they're both still in high school, they marry and settle down, still within Ricky, now known as Richard's, parents' home. Life goes on, decades pass, people are born, live, and die, but will they always stay here in the same house? Here is a movie about a place, specifically a living room facing the picture window and the street beyond. The camera never moves. It follows this location not just for Ricky's family, but also the dinosaurs, the Ice Age, indigenous people, Ben Franklin, and various other couples across the 20th century constantly jumping back and forth in time. The one constant is the frame, the fourth wall, which never shifts. Picture this, a pop-up square will appear on the screen with different furniture and wallpaper in it, taking you to another era in the style of a virtual staging of a house for sale on a real estate website. Indeed, we get to meet real estate agents throughout the 20th century, which makes sense because It's really about the place, not the meat puppets who wander around in it. Does this new experimental concept work? No! It's indescribably awful. I cannot convey the aesthetic revulsion I felt viewing this horrible non-movie movie. It features a de-aged 68-year-old Tom Hanks playing himself as a teenager with a fake young teenage face plastered on, but who still talks and walks around like the old man he is. What were they thinking? Here is a tired, platitudinous high-concept exercise in futility disguised as an innovative film. All the characters are painful cliches, including even a token black family whose sole purpose seems to be to recite a version of Ta-Nehisi Coates' Letter to My Son to their son. Keep in mind, Zemeckis is known both for classics like Back to the Future, but also for unforgivable semi-animated dreck like Polar Express and Forrest Gump. Here, the movie falls neatly into the dreck category. Emilia Perez, co-written and directed by Jacques Audiard. Rita, played by Zoe Saldana, is an ambitious young defense lawyer in Mexico City. She spends hours crafting powerful opening statements for trials, but as a black woman originally from the Dominican Republic, she gets none of the credit. But somebody is watching her and appreciates her skill. She finds out who when she's kidnapped with a black hood over her head and driven into the middle of the desert. There she meets the notorious head of a huge drug cartel personally responsible for countless killings. Juan Manitas del Monte, the cartel chief, needs her to help him disappear in a way no one, not even his wife Jessie, played by Selena Gomez, will ever find him again. The twist? This murderous, pockmarked, bearded monster is trans and wants to shed the awful male body and face in order to live the rest of her life as an attractive woman. She needs someone she can trust to handle all of this, both the finances and the surgery, leaving no paper trail. In exchange, Rita will have all the money she needs for the rest of her life and her own private firm. Years later, she meets with a potential client, a fabulously rich European woman named Emilia Perez, played by Carla Sofia Gascon. It's her client, the drug lord from years back, who wants to re-enter the world and be reunited with her beloved family, all of whom think she's dead, and also to atone for some of her past crimes without revealing who she is. What will happen to these three remarkable women in the next chapter of their lives? Emilia Perez is an incredibly passionate and shocking movie. It's simultaneously an action thriller, an epic drama, and a musical. Yes, that's right. The characters do break into passionate songs and dances throughout the film. But with its Latin beats and shouting crowds, it's the sort of songs you rarely encounter in a musical. Zoe Saldana is amazing as the tough-as-nails lawyer, and Carla Sofia Gascon, a Spanish actress I've never heard of before, is unmatchable, both as Perez and as the drug lord Manitas. She's a trans woman herself. French director Audiard, who previously brought us masterpieces like The Prophet and A Prophet and Rust and Bone, seems to have no trouble creating a Mexican musical. I gotta say, Netflix churns out a load of content, most of which is forgettable crap, but every now and again, every year, they also produce a few really remarkable films, and Emilia Perez is one of those. I strongly recommend this movie. Here and Emilia Perez both open this weekend in Toronto. Check our local listings. And Captives is having its English Canada premiere at 8:45 tonight at Cinefranco at the Carlton. This is Daniel Garber the Wheezeat, Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and my website, culturalmining.com.